Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Amen. And it's so funny because when Pastor Dave asked me to share this word a few months ago, God already gave me a word to title it, and I was just sitting on it for a while. I'm like, Lord, are you sure? But he said he wants to do something incredible, and he is going to do something incredible this year. And that yearning for holiness, that word holiness is going to be a part of our language, not just as a church, but as an individual. We often think that holiness is God. Yes, definitely 100% our God is holy, but we are also made holy because of Jesus. And we often think that I've messed up so badly that no, I'm so dirty, I can't be in His presence. But funnily enough, God says, come to me, come to me. I want you to come to me. Come to me. And on New Year's Eve, on the 31st, before we went to church, I felt the Holy Spirit say, come worship before you leave the house. And so I was just singing. And we were on annual leave, so Levi and I decided to visit other churches during this time. And then as I was singing, I heard the voice of the Lord, and He said to me, who shall ascend to my hill? I'm like, well, isn't that a verse in the Bible, Lord? And so He took me to Psalm 24, and I just want to read this to you. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And it's so timely because we were entering a new year, and this is what the Lord is saying. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And church, the Lord wants to come in. The Lord wants to visit us in a new way. And I know we have experienced, many of us has encountered the Lord, but aren't you excited that there's always something new in God? It's not always the old thing. There's always a fresh manna from heaven. There's always a fresh revelation. And that's what I love about God. It's not that we're saying what He's said in the past has expired. No, it's not, but there's always a new thing. We're being changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And I thought, Lord, I want to be where You are. It's not really about You being good or doing the right things, but it is You coming up and being close and being near His heart. That's what the Lord was telling me. And it's funny because when we visited Bright Church, our dear friend Pastor Aaron was sharing a wonderful message, and he was saying to the church, are we ready for the outpouring of the Lord for 2024? And the whole time I was crying, I was bawling my eyes out. I said, Lord, I am ready for You. Do what You need to do. And if we were going to give a title to what I'm sharing, it's not so much a message, but it's just more a testimony. But are we ready? Are we ready for what is to come? Are we ready for the new things? I know our students, our youth, our young people are starting school next week. Where are our youth? Are you guys excited? I'm excited for my boys to go to school, to be honest. I'm sure they're so eager to start school. My Noah is in grade 2 and Elijah's going to be in grade 1. So I'm excited for what they're going to do in school this year. And I just want to read 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared something for us, but are we prepared for him? Yeah. Are we ready for what is to come? Are we ready for another outpouring of his presence? Are we ready for the harvest, church? There are many people out there ready to hear the word and hungry, but who will go? Who shall go and share the word, share the gospel? Are we ready for more? And God led me to Mark 2:21-22. Let's read that together. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Heavenly Father, I am not here, Lord, for myself, but for you. Father, as I share your word, I pray that every person in this room will hear your voice. Holy Spirit, would you touch their hearts and show them the new thing that you are doing? And anything, Father, that is hindering us from experiencing you, the fullness of your goodness, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your truth, Father, we lay it aside. We lay it at the feet of the cross of Jesus. And we just take on the humility, a childlike faith, because we want to see you. We want to meet with you. We want to experience you. Father, we don't want to do church like before. Father, renew us in this place. Renew us in this place. Church, if that's your cry today, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if this is your heart, just pray that and ask that. Ask the Lord to renew you, renew your mind, renew your heart. If there's any recesses or any corner in your heart that you feel like you're still holding on to that is hard to let go, this is a moment between you and the Father and say, Lord, this is what I'm holding on. This is what I'm struggling with. I don't know what to do, but I'm here. Do what you need to do. Maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's bitterness, or maybe it's just frustration or just an old mindset that is holding you back. The Lord says, just let me touch you. Let me hold your heart. Give it to me. Open your hand and give it to me. Holy Spirit, we rely on you. Let your will be done in this place, Heavenly Father. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. So when I was reading this passage, Lord, this is kind of hard, but you know, when you read Mark, he's all about Jesus as the Son of God. He's all about Jesus as the Messiah. In just the first few chapters, you already see him performing signs and wonders. And obviously that ruffled some feathers. And the Pharisees started asking questions. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Why is he doing what he's doing? Who gave him this authority? And in the context of this passage, they were actually asking him about fasting. Now, when Jesus said these few verses, Mark 21 to 22, Jesus said this to the Pharisees who were questioning his methods. He was referring to a new way of approaching God and his presence. He was referring to the new covenant, because back then the people were so reliant on what they were doing. Think about these people for hundreds and hundreds of years who just relied on doing rituals and traditions and all these religious services, because this is what they all knew from the very beginning. They didn't know the full picture. They couldn't see it yet. They actually missed what God is trying to do. That yes, you have all these rules. I've given you all these rules, but this is not enough, because something better is coming. There is someone coming to fulfill all of that, and all you got to do is trust in him. But the Pharisees were saying, who is this guy? Why is this guy doing something that is not our way? And it makes us question, how often do we ask God, hey, Lord, why isn't this working out the way it's supposed to work out? Because we have a certain mindset. So many times, and this happened in my life, because I struggle with control. Well, God has released me from it. He's releasing me from it. And, you know, when we try to be in control, there's just no room for God to move. We put God and his presence and the move and the manifestation of his spirit in a box so that we can tolerate it, in a mold that we can tolerate, that is easy to take in. But when God starts to move in a way that makes us uncomfortable, it's like, not for me, not for me. But what if the truth is right there? All we got to do is step in and get out of our comfort zone and maybe release God from this box that we put him in. This is an old mindset that God has to work in a certain way that will bring a certain result. But God's like, I am God. I am here. I have fulfilled everything. And I love you, but I want you to follow me, not I follow you. And it's so funny, when the Pharisees were asking Jesus' disciples about a fast, they were saying, why are your disciples not fasting? This is actually an extra fast to the real fast that was in Leviticus. It's not even part of their law. It was just an additional work. So it's like adding work to the work, and extra work to the actual work. How many of us know that it's work is already hard, and when someone gives you an extra work that you're not supposed to do, it's like, come on, man, this is not for me. And if you're someone like me, I will happily say yes to it. Even if I'm burnt out, I will do it. It's okay. I'm a good person. And here I am complaining and grumbling, oh, man, I shouldn't have said yes. And, you know, this is a terrible mindset. It's an old mindset. And God's like, I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to bring suffering on your own self when you don't need to. And we can see a few chapters later that Jesus will go up on a cross and gave his life. While the Pharisees continued to mock him, his disciples were crying out, Lord, Lord, Lord. But we know that that is not the end of the story. Who here knows the end of that story? Who here knows that Jesus has come back to life? He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He has given us his spirit. This spirit that lives in us is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. So if you feel like you're dead today, just know that there's a spirit that is alive in you, and he is ready to raise you up. He is ready to strengthen you. He is ready to give you a new life, a new perspective, a new mindset. But would you say yes? Would you say yes to the uncomfortable place that God is calling you to? Come on, so good. Because, you know, religious, this mindset, it's comfortable. And I have been comfortable in my faith for a very long time. And at the start of this year, we went to Tasmania. And Levi and I said, it's going to be a spiritual retreat. And I went out, I was alone with the Lord, and I was just praying. And I heard Father tell me, hey, you'll be familiar with the uncomfortable this year, so you can grow closer to me. And it was scary, but just know that this is not a form of punishment. God is not trying to punish me. I've messed up many times, but this is not him punishing me, but he wants to purify my heart. He wants to purify my faith. He wants to purify my longing for Him. Are you just longing for me because of the feeling I give you? Or are you really out for me, all out lover of me? And we know, if we read the Bible, His disciples and apostles in the New Testament, is not a bed of roses. And I love what Pastor Levi was sharing in devotion this morning, that trials will come. Enter through the narrow gate. And this narrow gate, this is hard. It's not comfortable. It will stretch you. It will challenge you. It will make you want to let go of everything you want to know. And many times it will make you want to go home and just give up. But God said no. Enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. You say that you love me, but how much do you love me? You say you want to experience me. You say that you want me more than your breakthrough, more than the answer to your prayer. So let's go walk through that narrow gate. It may be hard to forgive that person. It may be hard to let go of that bitterness, but is this worth losing your time with our Heavenly Father? It's so hard to give when you're struggling financially. It's so hard when you know you've got so many things to do. But if God is calling you, hey, how much do you trust me? How much you trust me as your provider? Would you enter through that narrow gate? It is hard to experience the presence of the Lord when He moves and everyone is like dancing and screaming and wailing and crying and like, I feel so uncomfortable here, Lord. But God said, why don't you open your eyes to what I am trying to do here? Do not put a lid on someone's encounter just because you are doubting what God is doing in that moment. Oftentimes I do that. I judge Levi. Lord, I am sorry. When he's just wailing and crying, I said, you don't have to cry that much. It's okay. You're all right. Okay? And the Lord's like, how dare you? He's having an encounter. How dare you make fun of that? Who are you to say what is right or wrong? I know at church, I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to be harsh, but this is an encounter that I had. And I was, Lord, are you sure? But God is saying, are you ready? Are we ready for a fresh encounter? It says in the word, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. An unshrunk cloth is a new thing. Would you add a new thing to an old piece of clothing? Or in here, would you put a new one into an old wineskin? You wouldn't put a new drink or a fresh water on a dirty cup or a dirty mug and drink it. It's just not going to work. And that is what the Lord is trying to do. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to renew our mind. Religion is comfortable, familiar. But following Jesus, it's exciting. It's the best word to describe it. It's exciting. What are you up to, Lord? What are you trying to do? What is your plan? What is your plan? I just want to read this verse to you. It's not in the slides, but it's in 1 Peter 1, 6, 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, you got to share this testimony. And I'm like, okay, I will. I was at the revival night on Thursday. Who was there? Yes, it was awesome. And honestly, I came straight from work and I was so ready to just go back home. I didn't want to go because I was tired. I had a long day and I knew there was going to be too many people, way too many people. And I said, I guess I don't need anything. I'm okay. And the funny thing is, when we say we're okay, it's actually when we need it the most. So if you feel like God is calling you to go there, just go there. If God is calling you to pray for someone, just pray for that person. Don't be afraid. That's the voice of the Lord. And so I actually asked our kids oversight in the city if I could serve because I thought, I don't need to be here. And she told me, you always serve, go receive tonight. So I'm like, okay. And then I wasn't sitting with my usual people, my Westies. Levi was serving, so I felt like I was all alone. I was sitting next to new people. I said hi to them and everything, but I just felt uncomfortable. And I was ready to bolt. I was ready to go. I'm like, people out there need this seat. But then I didn't know that God was about to do something incredible. There was an old wineskin. There was an old mindset that he was trying to break through. And while I was there, I was still in my old uniform. And I was sweaty and I was smelly. I didn't do my makeup. I felt like I'm wearing my uniform from where I just felt so unpresentable, so undone. I'm like, I don't want to be here, Lord. I just want to go home. But then we started singing and then the Lord's like just asking me this question. Will you worship even when you don't feel comfortable? Will you come to me even if you're not done up and even if you didn't prepare or do you feel like you're not ready, would you still come to me anyway? And so I did. I just went there and I was just on my knees and I couldn't sing. I couldn't sing. And I started to smell myself. And I was like uncomfortable. And then this memory from the past came. When I was young, people would make fun of me and say I was smelly. And then I saw myself. I felt like, oh, I was really messy. And then a memory of me from when I was young came back. When people would say, you're ugly. People would say I was ugly. Or they would make fun of the way I walked, the way I spoke, the way I did things, how short I was. And some of them were adults, but maybe they were trying to be funny, but I didn't think it would affect me until that moment. I didn't know that it was a deeply rooted trauma that I had. So this is why I am so careful with what I say to my boys with our little children, because what we say to them will plant a seed that could either grow into a blessing or a curse. So let's be careful with what we say. It will just be uplifting? Will this grow them? Will this help them? Or will this instill something that will hold them back? And so I wasn't angry at anyone, but God was trying to do something in my heart. And I said, Lord, why am I doing these things? I felt so unworthy. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt so out of place. I'm like, Father, why am I here? I don't need to be. I just feel so horrible. But it was God fixing my heart. God was trying to remove this deeply rooted curse that I put on myself, that these negative things that have been spoken about me have become my identity. So growing up, I became a people pleaser because I wanted to hear something good about me because I thought I was that. So I used what they said, and I was looking for affirmation and confirmation from others. I tried to do what I can for them to like me, just so they say the right things about me, because I thought I was that. And God said, I want to get rid of that. I want to remove that from you. I am about to do something new, but you as a vessel carrying this pain, this trauma, cannot hold what I'm about to do if we don't clean this up. And church, many of us carry trauma. Many of us carry mindsets, painful encounters and heartaches, bitterness and all these things that hold us back. And we think, I'm okay, I've dealt with it. But deep inside, it's still there. But God said, I want to make you pure. You are holy. I say you are holy. But holiness is saying yes to what he is doing in our lives. And so I said, God, I just want to see you. Father, I just want to see you. I want to be free from this. And the song came on. Show me your face. Show me your face. And I just belted out. And I couldn't lift my hands because I thought I was smelly and the people behind me could smell me. I didn't care. I said, Lord, I'm here worshiping you because I love you. And I literally felt this restriction come off me, like this vine or this snake. In that moment, even this was before Dr. Heidi Baker came. See, the thing is, God will move not just through a person, but by an encounter. You don't go to these meetings to see a person. You're there to see the person of Jesus. And no one touched me. No one even prayed for me. It was just God literally speaking to me. And guys, sometimes it's so sad that we don't hear a prophecy about us, but hearing directly from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator talking to you, is the best thing. Just hearing from Him directly. And for me, you know, to be honest with you, I get jealous of Levi because God speaks to him so clearly. I'm like, and people prophesy over him left, right, center. And it's like, God, what about me? Me too. That's an old mindset. But God said, don't you like it when I speak to you directly, my daughter? I'm like, okay, all right, you win. And I love my God so much. And I wouldn't be able to say these things. I wouldn't have the confidence to say these things if I hadn't encountered Him in the years ago and years ago. And church, I've made so many mistakes in my life. I have failed many, many times in the past. But the thing is, God says, come to me, run to me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. So when I just worship, guys, there's something incredible when you worship, when you lift up your hand, even when you didn't feel like it. Even if your feeling is not there, because that's when your faith is working. You're not relying on feelings. You're not relying on the songs. It's just you and God. And Lord, I am here. I don't feel like it, but I worship you because you are good no matter what. And I love says, you know, she came up today. She was singing, you know, without her husband, without her baby, Reuben. But she just worshiped like there's just an audience of one, and that is Jesus. So church, when you worship, when we worship again, and we're going to sing again, we're going to sing a powerful song. And don't look at the song. Don't look at Sarah. Don't look at the person next to you. Look to the person of Jesus, because He will encounter you. He will reveal something new to you. But are you ready to let go of that old wineskin, of that old mindset of approaching God, that you have to look a certain way, that you have to do a certain way to be with Him, to encounter Him, to be good before Him? Now, the reality is, and our reality is, that Jesus is coming back. And whether it's something that we're excited about or it's something that we've kind of forgotten or put it on the side, away from our reality, He is coming back. And the Lord wants to change our mindset about His coming. It's not something to be afraid of, because we feel like, ooh, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough for you. Or maybe you feel like, no, I'm not, I'm messed up, I can't, or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. That's the old wineskin mindset. Church, when you said yes to Jesus, when you said yes and believing in what He has done, when you said that, yes, God, I've messed up, but I'm giving my life to you. I am going to follow you and trust every word you say, you have received an inheritance. This inheritance is an eternity. And you know, eternity isn't even living forever for the rest of your life. For me, the most exciting part of eternity is not eternity itself, but who I am spending eternity with. I will be with my Jesus. And I am so excited to see Him face to face. I am excited to behold His beauty, to embrace Him, to be at His feet. Don't you miss it when you're away. I know mom and dad, they were away from each other for a very long time. But every time dad comes, we are so excited to see Him face to face. Wouldn't it be the same for us to see Jesus when He's coming down from the clouds? Yes, Jesus, I've waited for you for so long. And I'm here and you're there and we are together. It's just the most beautiful thing. It's just something that we are all looking forward to. You know, it's beautiful that we have this revelation, that we have this relationship. But many many, many friends and family out there do not know this truth. Do not know that there is an answer to their struggles. There is an answer to their pain that they have messed up. But there is one person that has not given up on them, and that is Jesus. And we, the church, you and me, we have a responsibility to show them that, hey, come on. Come on, I want you to meet this guy. I want you to meet this Jesus. And let me tell you all about him. I just want to read Romans 5:25. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if you want to just dance, if you want to be an all-out lover of Jesus, no matter what that looks like, this does not put you to shame. The hope, the trust that you have, saying, why are you believing in something that you can't see? Why are you giving to the church? Why are you praying over this person? Why are you still loving that person? This does not put you to shame, because it is God's love that has been poured into your hearts, into our hearts. It is his love that is moving us. And church, we cannot move if we do not let go of this mindset, of the old wineskin mindset. God wants to do something new. And I just want to end with this in Revelation 21:5. And this was the end of the beautiful story of the coming of Jesus. And this is what he said. He was seated on the throne and said, "Behold, I am making all things new." So close our eyes, and let's just take this moment. To hear from him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, the religious mindset will keep us imprisoned, will keep us stuck into our old ways, will keep us limited. Just like the Pharisees, they couldn't see beyond their traditions because they believe that what they do will make them holy. But the thing is, it's not what makes you holy, it is who. And that is Jesus. Did you know that it says in the Word that he has taken upon himself the sin of the world so that we can become righteous? Righteous means clean, approved, accepted, new, clean slate. Now, Vance, how can I trust in this God? How could I come to him? I really don't know. You know what I said when I was just in my moment that night? I said, "God, I just want to see you." It says in his Word, "You will find me when you seek me, when you seek me with all your heart." Ask the Lord, "I just want to see you. I want to see you rightly." I love how the song we were singing, "Jesus, you are beautiful. Show us your glory." I want to let go of my old thinking. I don't want to put you in a box. I don't want to just be comfortable in my faith. Father, take me to a new place where I will grow, where I can encounter you like never before. And church, if we do not move, we will miss we will miss what God is doing. If I focused on what God was doing in Levi's life, I would have missed what God was doing in my life. And if I focused on those people around me at Revival Night, I would have missed. If I left, I would have missed this freedom, this revelation that God was doing in my heart. I honestly would not be able to stand here before you if I did not encounter God that night. See, it is not the person in front of you, but it is the person of Jesus that sets you free. Let's worship Him together. And as we worship Him, if you want to lay down your life again, every mindset, every old ways, if you think that you're still carrying something that is holding you back from the Lord, why don't you come up the front and just worship Him like no one is watching. He's here. His Spirit is here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.